This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. These days, many of us are wearing smart watches or these special rings or even other gizmos that monitor our health. They collect and record things like our heart rate, number of steps, sleep, stress levels. Some track sugar levels in our blood or even more. Recently, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. told Congress that he wants everyone in America to be wearing this type of tech in the next 4 years as part of his Make America Healthy Again initiative. So there are questions, though. Will these trackers actually help us become more healthy? That's a main question. We're joined by Dr. Emerson Perrin. He is the interventional cardiologist and medical director of the Texas Heart Institute at Baylor College of Medicine and the director of the Center for Clinical Research. And Dr. Perrin, welcome to The Source.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
So this incredible technology, we want to wear it, find out how we're doing health-wise. And there are studies that show that, yeah, they do help people who select to wear these. They do help them become healthier. Is that right?
That's true. Actually, it's evidence-based. They've studied thousands of patients. And for example, based on steps and activity and heart rate, in a recent study that was presented, they were able to show that they could predict people that might undergo a hospitalization. So there's a lot of work in this area, and it's going to become more popular and more pervasive throughout society over time, without question.
So the reason I phrased the question in the way saying the people who selected to wear this. So if I go out and I buy these devices and they're not cheap, you know, automatically you're investing and you're self-selecting if you're a consumer to wear these devices. And this will, therefore, maybe you're going to give these things a lot more attention than if someone ordered you. You know, let's say the government told you, you have to wear one of these devices, if that would still be something that would make people healthier is a question.
Well, you know, first of all, I think that, you know, just as a blanket statement, having everybody use one of these things is not realistic and it's probably not going to happen. You can imagine there are some people, like everybody's different. And some people, if you were to wear a smartwatch and you are not reaching certain goals, it actually might provoke anxiety, and anxiety might be worse for you than the benefits you might get from the watch. So all of this is fairly relative. But as time progresses, really, there is a tendency for, first of all, for medicine to want to concentrate on prevention, right? So we'd rather not be treating disease. We want to catch things, you know, before they happen and prevent, in our instance, you know, heart attacks, strokes, and things like that, and progression of diabetes and other diseases. So in that framework, as we're looking at prevention, it's very helpful to have the patient more involved, because the more involved the patient is, the better outcomes we'll have. And the doctor in the future, I sort of see this as the doctor serving as a co-pilot for the patient. And you have to imagine that over time, these technologies will also get more sophisticated, meaning that the interface is actually much easier. And there, you know, because for some patients, and even elderly patients, some of this technology is a little mind-boggling and difficult to deal with. And I think over time, there'll be a selection and things will get better, they'll become easier, and things will select themselves out as to what is more helpful for people to use. But in general, I think it's a good trend to consider and to really get patients involved more in their healthcare and in preventing disease.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Do you wear a health tracker? What is it that you're looking for in that health tracker? Is it giving you the information that you need? Does it make you stressed out a little bit? Are you feel guilty about maybe not meeting those step goals every day? Tell us about you and your step tracker and your health monitors. And are you worried about information being leaked out to other people? Number is 833-877-8255. So One question I have is how accurate are these things that we wear? They promise to tell me, you know, my quality of sleep. How does this thing on my wrist tell me the quality of my sleep?
Well, so you bring up a very, very important point. And it's this, is as the information that we're going to use for this impacts more serious aspects of being healthy, then they require to have a higher sort of a regulatory standard. Because, for example, if something is a life and death kind of application, for example, here at Texas Heart, we're working on some very sophisticated, futuristic things that can be implanted that actually can save a patient's life, let's say. Okay, well, that can't be just okay 99% of the time. It has to be okay 100% of the time. Now, if you're running in the park and your smartwatch is off by, you know, 10 feet, well, that's okay, because you just kind of need to have a general information. So it really depends on the application. And the more serious it is, the more oversight and accuracy it needs to have.
Yeah, but that distinction is what separates something from being a medical device from being a toy.
Well,
if it's just going to give you a roundabout estimate, and that's fine, that's great. You know, it's not going to measure every step that I take or give me every detail about my REM sleep at night. That's fine. Give me a roundabout idea, although there needs to be transparency and how much faith I should be able to put in that information. And that's okay. It's kind of like a neato mosquito kind of a thing to have on. But then we're getting to medical technology, which that information could be used against me at some time. Then that thing needs to be spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're talking about then, and what we really have today, are sort of, if you want to use your own words, are the toys. Okay. Except for, I'll give you an example. If you have Dexcom and the Style Libre, which are glucose monitors that people wear, they can see their blood sugar on their iPhones. Again, those are medical devices, right?
Yeah.
Most of these things you're talking about, a ring you might wear or a smartwatch to tell you the steps and all that. They're more to the toy side, but interestingly, because they are becoming quite accurate and, you know, we have better and better technology all the time, they're becoming more reliable and you can rely to them to a certain degree. So for example, the steps that you bring up, there are studies showing that, for example, people over a certain age, if you maintain 10,000 steps, you live longer. Well, that's a good thing. And so, and the bar on counting steps is not too terribly high. And I think the devices that we have are pretty decent. Now, is that a medical grade device? No. But as time goes on, technology advances, I think we'll be transitioning a lot of these things, which are quote unquote in the more toy range, into medical devices. And that's where I talk about the doctor really as a co-pilot. You go in to see him and he'll help orient you and sort of guide you into the use of things, what's important, what's not so important. And then that way you can help yourself. And that's really important.
Well, I saw a report that said people who have a step counter and who pay attention to that and are checking their step counter and tracking that they are on average walking 40 minutes more per week than before. That's significant.
And that's a very positive thing. And just as, since we're on public radio, it's very important. Activity, people in general don't understand the importance of physical activity. And I don't mean, and steps is fine. Walking is, American Heart Association recommends 45 minutes of walking four times a week. But physical activity is like taking four pills for free. You lower your blood pressure, you lower your blood sugar, you lower your cholesterol, and it makes you feel better. And people don't really realize the power of physical activity. We may have, you know, the latest smart gadgets, but our bodies are really caveman. And caveman is made to move around and be active. And the more active we are, the healthier we are.
Right. And giving people data, I mean, if we track what we care about, if we measure what we care about, then letting people know, well, today you didn't walk as much as you did yesterday, or, you know, giving people a little musical, hey, good job, you hit your goal today, good for you, you know, those are things that can help people stay, I mean, keep moving, right?
And I think that's a very, very positive thing. I think in general, right? There are exceptions to everything, and I think some people, like I had mentioned, might become a little paranoid or anxious about that. But I think the general population, yeah, will absolutely benefit from something like that and get positive reinforcement and set goals, and those goals, you know, automatically go up and you get healthier and healthier. So as physicians, we love to see people engaged in their health, engaged in, for example, in physical activity and doing and eating better. And there's apps and other technologies can help you monitor that. You can actually get a glucose monitor that's not theoretically medical grade. And you can wear that and kind of see how you respond to different foods.
Right.
And that's quite educational. It's sort of feedback. So the right person that's really motivated to that is only going to really benefit from these things.
Okay, we got to take a break here. When we come back, find out more about what this wearable tech can do for you. How much do you care about your heart rate variability? Actually, you should care about it more than you know, and your watch can tell you all about it. We're going to take a break here. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Public media is facing one of the most serious threats in its history. The House has voted to eliminate $1.1 billion in funding, putting trusted news, meaningful storytelling, and emergency alerts at risk. The Senate votes next, and you can contact your senators every day until they do. Tell them to reject these cuts and protect TPR. Visit tpr.org/resiliency to take action today.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, having a conversation with Dr. Emerson Farrell. He is an interventional cardiologist, medical director of the Texas Heart Institute at Baylor College of Medicine, and the director of the Center for Clinical Research. And we're talking about all these medical tech devices that we're wearing these days. Your smart watch is keeping track of your steps and your sleep and your stress, all sorts of things, even to your oxygen in your blood levels. They can tell you all sorts of things about yourself, but how accurate and how secure is that information? Could that information be used against you? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Patty. And Patty, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
I have a question. It's like, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I have one of those watches myself. Do I watch it and monitor it all the time? No, but I have one. But okay, so we give these watches to everybody. How many people don't have health insurance? So now they're being told by their watch that they've got cholesterol and blood pressure and diabetes. And who's going to pay for the medications to get these people healthy? And that's my concern. It's like they're already saying they're trying to, you know, get the budget down for the country. But now we're going to give watches to everybody who probably can't even go get treatment.
That's a good point, Patty. Thank you for that. So talking about Secretary of Health Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he told Congress that he wants everyone in America within 4 years wearing this type of tech as part of his Make America Healthy Again. Of course, Kennedy says all sorts of things that don't hold up to scrutiny, but that's a great point. You know, this is a country that does not have national universal health care, and we know that is something that would actually make America healthy again. So I was taken by what she said, Dr. Perrin, that she has one but doesn't really pay attention to it, just kind of ignores it. I mean, probably a lot of people are like that. Do you think that they should pay attention to it? Why not give it a try?
Some people, for sure. But I mean, some people can be motivated. For example, I see patients that, for example, had just had a heart attack and we fixed their heart attack. Well, guess what? These people all of a sudden went from 0 to 100 on the motivation scale. So it also depends on your personal situation. If you're a diabetic, you know that that can cause problems. You've talked to the doctors, you understand. And so I think somebody who's really healthy and is doing great and has already good habits, yeah, they can have a watch and maybe they'll pay some attention to it. And so, of course, there's going to be a variability about, you know, how people use these devices. And it's not one size fits all for everybody.
Let's go to the caller, Bonnie. And Bonnie, you're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm curious about how we can protect this information from our insurance companies because we don't want our rates to change.
All right, Bonnie, thank you for that. So could an insurance company buy this information from, you know, Garmin or someone or Apple and say, well, you're not meeting your step goals, therefore we're going to have to raise your rates? There's no privacy protection for that.
That is very true. And then, you know, we talk about medical grade devices in which there is, you know, HIPAA regulations. And then we talk about these non-regulated devices that don't. And so that is a valid concern. I would add the following to the previous caller, even that, you know, unfortunately here in the U.S., we don't have a healthcare system. We have a healthcare marketplace in which there's a bunch of people, companies trying to make money on healthcare. And a system is something that works together with a common goal. And so unfortunately, or, you know, it is what it is. And we can hopefully work over time to have something that works a little better than what we currently have. There's a lot of disparity in care. And, you know, one can only hope that we can get to a better place.
So my smartwatch tells me about a heart rate variability. What is that and why does it matter?
Oh, well, that's very interesting. Heart rate variability is actually an indicator. It has to do with the autonomic nervous system. And think of it, as I tell patients, it's like the automatic nervous system. Like, you don't think about telling your heart, you know, to beat, or you don't think about breathing. All these things happen. When you stand up, the pressure, the blood flow in your brain needs to stay the same. Well, if you didn't automatically regulate all the blood vessels to keep that flow the same in your brain, you'd pass out every time you stand up. So anyway, there's all this stuff that goes on behind the scenes that happens automatically. And this is regulated by these two sympathetic and parasympathetic systems that exist in the body. And there's sort of a yin and yang of what goes on. So heart rate variability is one way to sort of understand how your autonomic nervous system is functioning. And the heart rate variability is sort of a direct reflection of, for example, its influence on the heart. And you can use that data. For example, athletes can use it to optimize their training, or you can use it for many different applications, because it's part of how your body regulates itself. So it's a very interesting and important regulator. I think it'll become, knowledge about this will become more widespread and popular, and this is something people will know more about in the future.
So the variability is good. You want to have widespread variability?
Yes, that's a very good point. Yes, so a low heart rate variability is linked to increased risk of various health problems, including heart disease, depression, anxiety, other things. And so you want to have a high heart rate variability.
Well, what about, you know, my smartwatch, that can it detect atrial fibrillation?
They're actually pretty good at that.
Why would I want it to do that?
Now, so atrial fibrillation is a different thing, right? It's a rhythm. So normally your heart is in a normal rhythm called normal sinus rhythm, and that can be slow. We call it bradycardia. It can be fast. We call it tachycardia. But the heartbeat originates in a certain spot in your heart, and that's how everybody is. Now, sometimes, and depending on, and the most common cause of atrial fibrillation will be high blood pressure over time. But it can also happen in other things like hyperthyroidism and other diseases and valve diseases. So what happens is the heart runs on this nice little spot that starts a heartbeat, and there's a little electrical wiring, and it, and basically the heart beats and contracts on waves of electricity. Well, in atrial fibrillation, it's all of a sudden like you got a little tornado going on instead of that little spot, and your heart starts beating. Actually, the top of your heart is isolated from the bottom of your heart. I'm sorry.
So that sounds like something that's very abnormal is happening to my heart rate. And then my smartwatch, I mean, if it was a good one, it should be able to pick up on that and tell me I need to, you know, get my heart to the hospital.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that the rhythm, it normally is regular. If you feel your pulse, you know, it's a regular beating kind of thing. So in atrial fibrillation, it becomes irregular because of that little tornado, and your heart's getting bombarded with a lot of beats, and only some of them get through. And so it's not regular like it should be. So these devices have the ability to really pick up on atrial fibrillation. And yes, if you have atrial fibrillation, the main problem with atrial fibrillation isn't really the fibrillation itself, it's stroke. And so if you have that, you need to go to a physician immediately or go to your ER or something, because we can prevent that stroke in patients that have atrial fibrillation, and we can treat the atrial fibrillation as well. So that's a very important aspect of some of the wearables to be able to detect that.
But so these things are not FDA approved. They have not been cleared for medical use. As we said earlier, I was calling them basically kind of like a toy. But I mean, could they be? Could we get to the point where, because they can't make medical promises, they can't say this is going to help you, you know, prevent you from having a heart attack.
Yeah, it's interesting times, aren't they? Because you're right. They're still not medical grade devices, but they can. But think about the alternative. The alternative is somebody's at home and, man, they're just feeling tired. They're kind of out of breath. They notice that all of a sudden they can't do much, because when you're in atrial fibrillation, you lose part of the output of your heart. It's kind of like you're running on four cylinders instead of eight, let's put it that way. And so you just feel like, man, things aren't. So you wind up going to the doctor. We do an EKG. It's a very common thing to do. Boom, we find you're in atrial fibrillation. So that's how most people discover they're in atrial fibrillation. The other way is they feel their heart, you know, palpitations, and they feel heart, a fast action of their heart. That brings them to the doctor, and we can diagnose it that way. But I have many patients that that have come and with a smart device and say, look, it's, you know, and then we'll then transition to placing a medical grade monitor on them for several days, and we'll make that diagnosis.
Yeah. So I wonder, so I go to the doctor, get the checkup. They don't look at my watch. You know, they don't look at the app that I have on my smartphone that measures all these things. I would think that they would want to know all that stuff.
Oh, yes, we do. I do all the time. I told you, doctors are going to be co-pilots, and I'm a co-pilot for my patients. I look at their stuff all the time.
Because they can ask you, are you active? Oh, yeah, I climbed Mount Everest just the other day. I'm very active. And in fact, you know, I the only marathon I watched was the one from the Battlestar Galactica. You know, that's the only marathon I do. So, people, I mean, it's a kind of a truth teller, isn't it?
But you'll be surprised that, again, everyone is different, right? We can't fit everybody into the same mold.
Sure.
But any people that are motivated, they'll show you, like, oh, look, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. They'll show me their steps. They'll show me their graphs. They'll show me, oh, look, it detected this atrial fibrillation. So That's a way, actually, that physicians can interact with their patients. We work together, get them involved, because you know what? I can talk till I'm blue in the face. The patients are the ones that need to take responsibility for what they have.
Right.
Understand. We're in a position to educate people, right?
Yeah.
We want people to understand what they have, what it means, what, for example, the medicines they might be taking, what they do and how they work and what that means for them. And so now we have a successful partnership to make people healthy.
Well, Dr. Emerson Perrin, I'm just trying to raise people's awareness, help them understand this technology, exploit the positive feedback opportunities, and help everyone get healthy again. So I appreciate you talking to us today. I appreciate that.
Great. My great pleasure.
This is Forrest on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.